Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Resonant Eagle, and it is the seventh day of the Red Moon Wave Spell. It is Galactic Moon Day 6. So time flies or flows. I also just podcasted really recently, so I'm relieved to be back because so much happens in a day. And in a couple of days, of course, it's exponential. So I want to download here. I'm grateful that we have this forum. Thanks for listening. So the Red Moon Wave Spell is emotional and hormonal. I don't know what a man would make of the Red Moon experience, because you can't probably personally liken it to a hormonal surge, which comes like premenstrually or during ovulation, or it happens, I guess, in menopausal moments. It happens when we're a teenager, and I suppose that's like intersex or universal. But the feminine hormonal depiction is, I think, just wanting to cry a lot and crying a lot. And it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of sensitivity. It's a sign of acute sensitivity and mourning all that is ill in the world. And just to have a total segue, my perception of PMS, which is, you know, called a syndrome, rather than really just more dynamically exposing it for what it is. It's a woman experiencing death in her body, the death of an unfertilized egg, but nonetheless a major element of life force that is extinguished. And that happens, you know, in the very center of us, and then it's released. And all of that is a form of grieving. So people are like, oh, you're just overreacting to anything and everything, but we're just in an acute, heightened sense of grief, and there's a reason for it. And then we can project that or connect that to what's happening in the world that's grievous. And there's plenty. There's just so much to grieve, looking out with eyes wide open at the world, or, you know, not being watchful and gazing at it intently, but sensing it, picking it up on a sensory vibratory level. So that's what's going on in Red Moon. This sensitivity and potential for grieving and feeling the emotional content of what is sad, horrendous, devastating in the world. So that's going on. Different than Yellow Warrior. Way better, in my opinion. Grieving and crying about everything is way better than watching people die on a battlefield. And participating on a battlefield. And that might be, okay, so a masculine person, whether female or male, might be like, no, listen here, I would much rather deal with life and death battles than have to feel in my body acute sensitivity to all that we must grieve in the world. So to each their own. It's his and hers to some degree. And we are now in the very middle of the Red Moon Way spell. That's why I feel like it's flowing pretty fluidly by. It can catch us sort of in a tidal experience that's, disorienting, a moon pulling on us and making things a little otherworldly, and then also just like what it's like to be in the water, underwater, not drowning, but just like not in the air. Submerged underwater is a pretty dreamy state, and I think that exists in Red Moon also. So it's also a time of purification, and I feel like that's going to be some of my commentary. I came into really, I'm using this word acute grief because it just, I finally hit on what the hell is going on with me. I have acute grief. And so I'm going to keep restating that as part of the Red Moon experience. But what I want to say is that in the purification process that is also happening in Red Moon, my tears are, you know, rinsing the grief away. I think probably you can identify with this that, you know, crying for me, maybe as a blue storm person, and it's an outpouring of rain, but crying is the release of tension. I mean, we have that diagnosed scientifically that we release stress hormones in our tear ducts. And I find, you know, crying to be the cessation of struggle often. But when I have crying jags and they feel hormonal and they go on for, you know, a few days or throughout the day there's crying to do, then it's very exhausting and it's a work. It's a work to summon all of that stuck energy and let it outflow. So crying is not just then a nice soothing outburst, a relief, release of tension. It's kind of like it's an exercise in existing in grief and sort of systematically letting it out. But there's more to be beheld and released. So both of those things have been going on in the Red Moon Wave spell. But the ultimate effect of either or both is purification, because even if it's a struggle, it's arduous to let the stuff out of our body in a feeling way. If you're not crying, maybe you're expressing it in some other way that is still the release of something, not dark, but heavy. Letting that go, becoming lighter, also feeling cleansed, is a real strong Red Moon impulse and impetus, you know, like a Red Moon is dragging stuff out of us that is burdensome, hard to bear, sullies us in some way. It maybe is contaminating in some way, and we become purified and cleansed. Red Moon is also a time when we want to do that in our lives, whether it's house cleaning or spring cleaning, you know, which is more of like getting rid of stuff. Or maybe in our relationships, our so-called lifestyles, we want to clean some things up. I think this then dovetails into another prevalent aspect of astrology right now, which is Mercury is a retrograde, but not officially so. It's in its pre-shadow, which either I alone am super sensitive to, or is, as I've said before, a condition of living in a high-tech age, that our dependency on modes of communication and electronica mechanization is so much larger than even 10 or 15 years ago, that when we get into the subtleties of the Mercury retrograde cycle, we're going to be impacted much longer than the central 3 weeks, usually 20, 21 days, when it's officially retrograde and appears to be moving backward in the sky from our vantage point on Earth. Right now, what it's doing is like moving forward, but in the same zone that it's then going to go backward. So we're kind of like, oh, well, this path that it's on is soon to be reversed. So it's anticipating that reversal. And, you know, so you can look and see what's breaking down, whether it's communication or things you own, and relationships, the sort of stuttering, staggering, stopping. Maybe they'll restart, but on hold. That's an experience I'm having. And finally, on the podcast, I will talk about the galactic moon as well, but I think, we have red moon, we have retrograde, and I'll jump right in the galactic moon because I want to talk about current events because I have the time and I also have the need. Okay, so the galactic moon is not, it's very new. We're in the beginning first week, the red week in the east. I talk a lot about the third week in the west, but let me review because we're in a different one that's also important. The first week of a 28-day moon, every single moon is in the east. Each of the 4 weeks, 7-day weeks, four of them making 28 days, each 7-day week exists in one corner of the medicine wheel, one quadrant, and we start in the east where the sun rises, and it's red because of the red dawn, the way the sky is colored when the sun comes up. And in the east, we liken this quadrant to our mind. Our mind is on fire, like of all the parts of our body, our mind moves way quicker. I think it moves at the speed of light or something. Who knows how fast thoughts migrate compared to the speed of light, but it's like faster than our blood flow. So it's faster than the liquid part of our body. It's certainly faster than we can physically move our body, the sort of solid part of our body. And so fire is, it's also always actively like eating something up, which is kind of how our mind is. It chews up the scenery. It's analytical. It has ideas. It's super active. It's not spacious inside our mind. It's a little cauldron and it's cooking. So it's fiery, and when we feel or sense, an idea coming in, it's as if we've had an illumination. So this first week of any moon, and we'll talk now about the galactic moon, is giving us an idea of what the galactic moon's, presence in our life is for. What does it all mean? First thought, best thought. The galactic moon has a question that I'll keep referring to because it's marvelous, called, do I live what I believe? That's what the galactic tone asks us to ask ourselves. Do I live what I believe? Am I in integrity? Am I at odds with what I believe and how I live, not in harmony? Or am I connected? What I want to do in the world is what I do in the world. So for this first week, it's mental and it's a fiery, and then it'll move to the north, which is was air, and there's plenty of air in our minds as well, but I think that is a spacious place and not hot and on fire. It's cooler. And in that place, we go to spirit and we communicate with spirit about whether we live what we believe, whether we're in the galactic tone in harmony, modeling harmony and integrity. So how does it change right now from the resonant moon? Because today is a resonant day, so it's going to be a remembrance of the resonant moon that just was, and it was pretty packed and it was pretty powerful. In terms of psychic ability, do you still have that psychic ability? Maybe not as much, but what you're aiming for in your life right now, and what I'm aiming for in my life right now, I can tell, I can feel it comes up organically, is to have harmony in myself and in my relationships, and to bring things together where I feel fragmented. I've actually, had the feeling state in this red moon hormonal upheaval of like, I'm fucking losing it. I'm falling apart. I cannot sustain if I'm going to be this fragmented, which is so interesting because that's a really great departure point for the galactic moon. I didn't feel that entirely 10 days ago in the resonant moon. I mean, I think things have been very hard emotionally ever since we lost a sports superhero in Southern California where I live, because it's been really heavy grief cycle energy if you're a sensitive empath such as me. And that was weeks ago. So I'm not suggesting that things weren't difficult. They got very difficult in the yellow warrior wave spell to endure. Trump was acquitted from impeachment. He was a jerk. He was showy. Everything was fraudulent. It was terrible. We lost the battle, maybe the war. I mean, it's just been really awful. So all of that has also contributed to how fragmented I might be feeling by now that we enter the galactic moon, but I wasn't using that language. I was using the language of being someone who's like shot up in a you know, military operation, or watching people I love die at war. That was the language I was using at that time. Now I'm maybe having the same streaming experience, but I'm using innately and accidentally, without thought, the language of, I feel like I am falling apart and I need to put myself together here. I need holism within. I've got to reassemble these broken parts because, you know, I have the forethought to see that it's only the only way forward is if I can rebuild myself in strength and resilience. And I think that's the galactic moon, the galactic tone, and that we have this sort of stopover. The resonant moon is very spacious and psychic. This resonant day is intended right within the wave spell of 13 days to be a pause where we get really big and we channel and we see what wants to move through us and to us from the heavens. And so we had that for 28 days, and then it's followed by, okay, so take all of that sixth sense that was added to our five physical senses. We became super psychic. Now let's put all of that together. You know, maybe we had it together when we were just physical beings, but when we added being psychic, there was knowledge and exposure and illumination that has to be formed into a whole. And then in that place of fulfilled holism, we communicate directly to God, the sun god, let's say, in the solar moon, in the solar tone. And that's always the rhythm. So let's use that just for the days that are coming up. What I just demonstrated today is a resonant day. We take a pause. We've been really busy the last 6 days. We have had a lot to process. The wave spell's just getting started. It has a lot to teach us about red moon and its particular nuances. And the wave is building from deep under underwater. It's an unconscious movement towards consciousness. What has been unknown or denied is coming to the surface and then growing, you know, higher than the surface and being seen in ourselves and each other. And we do this work, this labor of, you know, birthing the wave spell through us as well as being birthed through the wave spell. I mean, however you want to identify it, it's active. And then the resonant day is like, and then on the seventh day, he, she rested. We rest. It's a day of rest, but it's just a day of resting the restlessness and being still, or at least spacious enough, knowing that we're going to be filled with divine insight, which is just another way of saying psychic ability. They're interchangeable. And then tomorrow, Thursday, we'll be in Yellow Galactic Warrior, which is a revisitation of Yellow Warrior, but is also on a galactic day when we're going to take all the busyness and the constructiveness of the first 6 days of the Red Moon Wave Spell and add whatever the resonant day gave us in terms of divine guidance through our intuition. We pull all that together for a day, and then on Friday, Red Solar Earth, Valentine's Day, we can communicate directly with the sun god in the language of the sun god, solar, what it is we aspire what we're asking for, our little prayer, our wishes, you know, our hunger. And then we get an answer, and that'll be Saturday, the 15th of February, and it'll be White Planetary Mirror. The answer comes in our language. You know, we rise over 8-9 days, 8-9 moons, to speak the language of the sun. We become illuminated and elevated. The wave carries us skyward. We grow, become expansive. It's like we learn a foreign language, the language of the gods. But the gods, who are infinite and also kind, answer in our language. And that's the interplay of the solar and planetary tones. And we will receive an answer to our prayer, to our wish, to our hunger on the planetary day. And then the wave falls apart, it's spectral, and so on. So, Blue Resonant Eagle forecasts that in 20 days we'll have the Blue Eagle wave spell. So this resonant day in particular also is situated in a tribe, and the tribe Blue Eagle is, you know, assuming the posture of being as far towards outer space as any animal can get in our atmosphere. So really high flying, therefore visionary, seeing the big picture. I think Blue Eagle is one of the easiest day signs to understand. It is the spirit animal of the United States. And so we see it on flags and so forth, emblems, the emblems, the United States Post Office, etc., our whole lives. And we know that eagles are, you know, the preeminent bird, and that they do get really far out there, and they're solitary, and they're, you know, we have to protect them, protected species, and they're very royal of the bird family. And so all of you can innately sense that this is a day that celebrates the visionary shaman, not the seer, like a prophet who can like see into the ethers and pull out like these sort of wild daydream, surreal expanses of forward thinking, fortune telling. No, the visionary who sees society as it is and solutions to societal problems, that kind of visionary, the one that is staying here in the earth realm, but seeing things from, you know, the skyscape. And so we're in our minds a lot on a Blue Eagle day, but our higher mind, our lower mind is Red Serpent, you know, our survival instinct, our, you know, ordained appetites for what will sustain us in terms of being alive and not dying. Hunger, sexuality, eating, obviously that's hunger, resting, sleeping, having enough rest, staying healthy. Those driven instincts come from our lower brain, but from our brain. But the higher mind, is the lofty ideal, the analysis, the assimilating, the instructing of... higher consciousness is going to be the Blue Eagle part of our mental state, and we explore that today. So we anticipate, too, that, you know, coming along here is the Blue Eagle wave spell, which reminds me, I haven't mentioned, that when we went into the red moon wave spell, when we began this red moon wave spell, it's red, right? So it also is in the east. It's the first stage of a set of four wave spells that are actually the last four wave spells of the Dzogchen. So when we began the Red Moon wave spell, we also began the final quartet of wave spells. There are 20 wave spells. They're each 13 days long. So we get 20 13-day wave spells. It's 260 days. That's the Dzogchen. The 20 wave spells are all red, white, blue, or yellow. So that means there are five sets of four quartets. Red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow. That was me saying 20, visualizing 20 wave spells really fast. So we're in that last one. The first quartet of Red, White, Blue, Yellow is in the East. It's red, the red quartet. I call it a spiral, the red Eastern spiral of four wave spells, followed by the white Northern spiral of four wave spells, followed by the blue Western spiral of four wave spells, and then the yellow Southern spiral of four wave spells. And you would think, well, we're done because we just went red, white, blue, yellow, but that's only 16 wave spells, and there are 20 in the Dzogchen. So it was realized, I think, by the Maya, but also Jose Arguelles, that we have a fifth spiral, and it's in the center. It's the only thing in the whole study of Mayan spirituality, as we do in natural time, that's not red, white, blue, or yellow. It's green. And it's the green central spiral, and it's called green central spiral of enchantment. Because, you know, you have the red Eastern spiral of initiation and the white Northern spiral of purification, and then the blue Western spiral of transformation, and the yellow Southern spiral of, I don't remember right now. I don't want to shuffle around my book. I will, though, before I've done talking. And so then we, you know, need a whole new orientation when we get to the center, and it's of enchantment, which is really lovely. That's a fairy tale word, and it makes me happy because I invested a lot of energy in the fairy tales when I was young, and here we are in the White Wizard wave spell of 13 years, and yes, the word enchantment is closely associated with this White Wizard momentum. But in any case, we're just in the first wave spell, red moon, of this green central spiral of enchantment. And, you know, just allow yourself to define enchantment and the center, the green heart center, perhaps, like the chakras green in our heart center. But that it is kind of an altered state that we earn from having done the really intense work of moving through the four directions of the medicine wheel in such an epic way, you know, one wave spell in each direction, and then four comprising, you know, each direction, the exponential intensity of moving through the four directions for an extended period of time. And then when we get to the green center chant, the green central spiral of enchantment, it is different and exceptional. It's a little bit like being in the center of the Dzogchen in what we call the, the central column, the mystic column. I feel like I really need to come up with that word for the yellow southern ripening. The yellow southern spiral of ripening. Hey, so it's a red moon, the wave spell, followed by white wind, the wave spell, followed by blue eagle, the wave spell, followed by yellow star, the wave spell, and then we're done with the Dzogchen. And you will miss this time when we start a new Dzogchen, because it is work to start the Mayan cycles. They start abruptly in some way, it feels like. It starts with birth. It starts with everything's really real after this green central spiral of enchantment that gets really out there and trippy and mystical. It's really real when we're back at the beginning. So enjoy what you can of it. I didn't really do current events after all, but maybe that's to other people's pleasure. All I want to say is that Bernie Sanders took a really substantial, finally confirmed, impressive lead in the United States elections on a day that reflects his energy, rhythmic. He's a yellow rhythmic star. It was white rhythmic wizard when it happened. And furthermore, white rhythmic wizard is a reflection of this white wizard year. And so there's a dark force of evil, and we all know who that is. And then there's this sort of like subversive underdog trying to overcome this sort of terror, the reign of terror, you know. and getting organized, rhythmic, getting organized. You know, the great organizer, Bernie Sanders, is getting organized. And, you know, I'm watchful and involved. I mean, watchful and involved, so you'll hear about it sometimes. And that's just the way it is. I do not relate to not being an active human citizen in localized and national and global politics and revolution right now. Lisa Starr, I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in La Cache.